The text is Hosea 6, the opening verse. Come, let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn in pieces in order that he may heal us. Let him smite in order that he may bind us up. He will give us life after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up in order that we may live before him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I appreciated his honesty when a man once told me, I never go to church because I don't like to feel guilty. His basic complaint was that the God proclaimed by the Lutheran Church seemed to be a killjoy, a God who always went out of his way to point out your problems, who always sought to expose the skeletons in your closet, the supreme negativist, something like the church lady on the old Saturday Night Live series. He wanted a church where God would unconditionally accept him and affirm him just as he is. Well, is he right? Is the God we proclaim a killjoy? Why do we go to church and why do we go to chapel? In our text from Hosea 6, ancient Israel gives voice to why we go to church and why we go to chapel. Although the Israelites did not carry through with their intention, what they said was good. We go to church and we go to chapel in order to return to the Lord, so that the Lord might heal us and bind up our wounds and give us life. But in order for the Lord to give us life, he first has to put us to death. In order for the Lord to heal us and bind up our wounds, he first has to smite. The Lord is not a killjoy. The Lord kills in order to give joy. He first must do his strange work of putting the old self to death in order to do what he really wants to do, give us a new life oriented toward him. There is simply no other way. You have to cauterize a wound to heal it. You have to pull out a decaying tooth in order to restore the mouth to wholeness. It would be inadequate if the church simply tried to be a moral improvement society, for our problem as sinners is much too deep for such a surface remedy. You see, human nature is so thoroughly corrupt, so completely permeated by the cancer of sin, that it must be put to death. It does not reform itself, and it cannot reform itself. It is incorrigible and irreformable. The sinful self must be put to death. That's hard to believe. But consider the story of ancient Israel. God had bestowed on Israel the status of most favored nation. God showered on the ancient Israelites all kinds of special blessings and special privileges. The Creator made them his own bride, and he became their husband. So close was the relationship. The Creator delivered them from Egyptian bondage, brought them to himself, made them his covenant people, gave them his revealed instruction, gave them the land of the Canaanites, gave them the temple where he placed his gracious presence and made it accessible for them. They were the ones who bore the promises. No other nation or people had been so honored and so gifted as ancient Israel. And what happened? Israel continually rebelled against the Creator. They constantly played the harlot and went after other so-called gods or man-made idols. They repeatedly rejected the word of God and the prophets God had sent them. They not only did not reform themselves, they could not reform themselves. They were that corrupt. Now, if God's own covenant people turned out to be so stubbornly opposed to God, what about the rest of humankind? What about us Gentiles? Ancient Israel's story tells us how far from God all of humankind has fallen. Our problem is something much deeper and more profound than individual sins of commission and omission. In Adam, our human nature has been so thoroughly corrupted that it not only lacks faith in God, but it actively opposes the true God and seeks to set up its own gods. Like ancient Israel, our corrupt human nature is unable to refrain from disobedience. That is why it has to be put to death. And ancient Israel was put to death as a nation. God sent the nation into exile. That was the end of the nation. Yet that was not the end of the story. God, in his boundless, steadfast love and faithfulness, gave Israel a new life. He raised them from the dead, you might say, when he brought the exiles back from exile and resettled them in the area of Jerusalem. Death and resurrection, you might say, summarize the history of Israel. And death and resurrection summarize the history of Israel's Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Israel's Messiah went through the same experience. He repeated Israel's history and fulfilled it. Jesus, the Messiah, literally died. He identified with sinful Israel, took on himself Israel's disobedience, and died Israel's death. Even more, he was the second Adam, who took on himself the world's ungodliness and died in the place of the world. Although he personally did no sin, God reckoned him as the greatest sinner ever. He became sin who knew no sin. He experienced the damnation that everyone deserved. His death was the death of all sinners. As St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if one died for all, then all died. There was no other way. Corrupt human nature could not be reformed. It had to be put to death in order for humankind to have a new life, a life oriented toward God. Israel's Messiah did not stay dead. God raised him to newness of life. In our text, ancient Israel uses a figure of speech. God will give us life after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up. As applied to B.C. Israel, this meant that after the punishment, God will soon restore Israel. The wait will not be too long. But what was a figure of speech in B.C. time became literal fact in the fulfillment. The true Israel, Jesus the Messiah, literally was raised up from the dead on the third day. The second Adam literally was raised up on the third day. And with his resurrection, the world had new life. Death and resurrection summarize Christ's history. We go to church and we go to chapel to let God put our old selves to death in order to recreate us as new persons alive to God. That is why we were baptized. Through baptism, the death and resurrection of Christ was applied to each one of us individually. We were crucified with Christ. We were buried with Christ. When he is the second Adam, as our representative was crucified, you and I were crucified. When he was buried, you and I were buried with him. God killed our old self. The old self then incorrigibly went against God. It had to be put to death. There was no other way. Death is not God's goal. Life is God's goal. The Lord kills in order to make alive, in order to give a different life, a new life before God, a new life toward God. Through baptism, we were raised with Christ to newness of life, to a new life lived toward God. When he was raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead. So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God, because you are. Why do we go to church and to chapel? Because the Lord kills in order to make alive. The old self that was put to death still troubles us. It's like a corpse that hangs around our neck and on our back, always bothering us. The Lord has to keep beating this dead horse. The law of God seeks and finds that old Adam and then smites it. Then the gospel of Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, brings a new life into our daily lives, finds a new dimension of our daily lives to bring in. We go to chapel and to church to let our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection be actualized and made real in our daily lives until the day when our old Adam is finally put to death in the grave, and until that glorious day when God raises us up from the dead at the general resurrection. The God we proclaim is not a killjoy God, not an abusive God. No, the God we proclaim kills in order to give joy. He is the God who, through Christ's death and resurrection, gives life, full life, abundant life, lived toward God. We go to church and we go to chapel in order to return to this God, the God of life. He tears apart in order that he may heal. He smites in order that he may bind us up. He kills in order that he may give life. Death and resurrection, you see, summarize our history. Put ancient Israel's prayer on your lips. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn in pieces in order that he may heal us. Let him smite in order that he may bind us up. He will give us life after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up in order that we may live before him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.